Penguin Random House Audio presents Shelter in the Storm by Laurel Blunt. Read for you by Savannah Gilmore. In memory of my beloved grandmother, Helen Beasley Russell, who sheltered her own family through the storms of war, widowhood, poverty, illness, and loss, her unflagging faith in her Lord, her grace and her grit saw her through, and she did it all laughing and dressed to the nines. I have never seen her equal, and she inspires me even today. Oodles of love, me mama, until we meet again. Chapter 1. There would be no more gentle days. Joseph Hochstedler knew it the minute he stepped out of his parents' Tennessee farmhouse into the pre-dawn darkness. December had been showing on Mum's kitchen calendar for almost a week, but today was the first time he'd felt the bite of winter. And at 26, he'd spent enough seasons working outside to sense that this sullen chill had hunkered down to stay. His mind on the weather, Joseph walked halfway across the side yard before he realized his mistake. Before him lay the stone dairy, his automatic destination every morning up until about a month ago. He stood for a few heartbeats, studying the silent building that, until recently, had loomed so large in all their lives. For 6 generations, the habits of the Hochstedler men had been regulated by the unyielding discipline of twice-daily milkings. Dairy farming was regarded as one of the hardest ways for Amish men to earn a living, but that had never mattered to the Hochstedlers. They'd never been afraid of hard work. Ever since he'd been old enough to follow Dad outside in the early mornings, Joseph had considered himself a dairyman. He'd grown up with the baritone lowing of the cows, the smell of the barn, the rich tradition of hanging his own hat on the same worn peg his great-grandfather had used. Grossdaddy had done this from necessity because he could milk faster bareheaded, pressing his forehead close to the jersey's warm flank. Joseph's father had been allowed to use surge milkers in the dairy, but he had trained Joseph and his brother Caleb to hang up their hats in the barn just the same. Traditions died hard with the Hochstedlers. At least Grossdaddy hadn't lived long enough to witness the death of the Hochstedler dairy. Joseph was thankful for that. He exhaled, his breath fogging the sharp air. Then he turned toward the smaller wooden barn, already glowing with the light from Dad's lanterns. You're almost too late. Caleb, Joseph's younger brother, sat hunched in a stall, milking their last remaining jersey. Sure enough, the steel pail was almost full. Each hissing stream of milk sent splashes over the sides. With only Daisy to milk, the chores go fast. Wouldn't you know? Not until I marry and leave home does Dad decide to sell the herd and take up the lazy life of a shopkeeper. Their father barked a laugh from the feed room, where he was measuring scratch for Mom's hens. No time for laziness here, cows or not. Plenty of hard work yet, building up the store business. From what I hear, you already have plenty customers coming by. That's good. A lot easier to spend your mornings adding up sales behind a shop counter instead of mucking out after 2 dozen cows. Ain't so, Joseph? Joseph didn't answer. Keeping his back to his brother, he forked the morning's ration of hay into the stalls of the family's buggy horses. His favorite gelding nickered appreciatively, and Joseph paused to stroke Titus's muscled neck. He'd found nothing easy about any of the mornings he'd spent working in his parents' new store, selling jams and quilts and faceless dolls to Anglishas. This particular morning, though, was turning into the hardest yet. Yesterday, Caleb and Rhoda had returned to John's Mill after their month-long wedding trip visiting family in Kentucky and Ohio. Joseph had braced himself for that, and he thought he'd been prepared. Then last night, Caleb had pointed out there was more room at the Hochstedlers than with Rhoda's folks, and he'd asked if they could stay on for a few weeks while they looked around for a place of their own. Joseph had caught the quick glance his parents had exchanged. They suspected, as he did, that Caleb's request had little to do with space and more to do with his headstrong brother's reluctance to live under the roof of the local bishop. Nonetheless, the request had been promptly granted. It was their way to take in family whenever needed, and Mom was pleased to have the chance to spend more time with Caleb and her new daughter-in-law. The arrangement had been accepted matter-of-factly by everybody involved, except for Joseph. He'd said nothing, of course, although the prospect of living elbow to elbow with the happy couple chafed him. The idea of seeing Rhoda every day, passing her in the hallways, seeing her seated at the family table as his brother's wife, that was pain he could have done without. Caleb started his new job on Samuel Christner's construction crew this morning. Joseph had hoped for a break from his brother, but Caleb had risen early and headed to the barn for chores, as if nothing had changed. Joseph had lingered in the kitchen after Dad and Caleb had gone out. The less Joseph saw of his brother, with that scruff of new married beard on his face, the easier it would be to hold his tongue. That was exactly what he had to do. Until his stubborn heart fell in line with the faith he'd been born and baptized into. A faith that required forgiveness, regardless of the offense. Seeing Caleb wreathed in smiles, shooting possessive glances at Rhoda as she moved quietly around the kitchen helping Mom, was testing Joseph's determination to its limit. Joseph leaned the pitchfork against the weathered wall with the other tools just as Caleb clanged the lid on the milk pail. "Are we about ready to head in for breakfast, Dad?" Caleb asked. "Rhoda's frying up that venison sausage we brought from Melvin's. Wait until you taste it." "Yeah," their father answered. "I heard my brother was happy with his sausages this year." "And that was the only thing he was happy about," Caleb replied. "It is hard to believe Melvin's your brother, Dad." "Our uncle is the sourest man I have ever met." Dad sighed. "Ah, well, he's had his share of sorrows, has Melvin. To have only the one son, and then to have him crippled in an accident, not just in body, but in his mind as well. That would be a hard blow for any man to bear without bitterness."
"Henry needs a lot of looking after, for sure. Rhoda helped Nella all she could while we were there, and I pitched in with the dairy work. There was more work than hands to do it, even so. It's hard for Nella and Melvin since their girls married into different districts," Dad agreed. "I don't blame the cousins for leaving. Oak Point is stricter than most. Rhoda was spoken to for wearing a dress in too light a color. Can you believe that? Rhoda's never been in trouble in her life, and she was only a visitor there. It shamed her, and it made me mad."
"That does seem harsh. The both of you can count your blessings now you're back home, yeah? You can go on to the house, Caleb. You best get that milk in and get ready for work.
Your brood up, and I will finish up.
I have time yet before my driver comes. Rhoda and I want to do our share of the work while we're here."
Caleb darted a look in Joseph's direction, but Joseph turned his head, focusing on the grain he was scooping into the horse's bucket. Dad shooed his younger son away.
"Right now, your share is to get that milk to your mom for straining. If you don't, Melvin's sausage won't be the only thing frying in the kitchen this morning. She'll have your hindquarters up on the griddle, married man or not."
"She might at that."
Chuckling, Caleb picked up the milk pail and started for the house. Joseph's glance strayed after his brother, then caught on the scene framed by the wide kitchen windows. Rhoda stood at Mom's stove, a spatula poised in her hand. His heart thudded hard at the sight of her. It always did, ever since the afternoon he'd come home from the fields and found Rhoda Lambright and his sister Emma frying cherry pies to sell at the annual horse auction. She'd worn a plum-colored dress that day, and her cheeks had matched it, flushed bright from the heat of the bubbling oil.
Rhoda and Caleb's twin, Emma, had been friends since their school days.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?